It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 682. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, and you can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. You can support the show by using the Carry Holzman Mike Smith Amazon link that's in the show notes. Before you make a purchase on Amazon, click on the link from my website, then add the items to your cart and then check out. We will get a small commission. Your price stays the same. That is the best way to help support Tech Vets, the Mike Tech Show, Carry Holzman, and myself. Thank you so much for your continued support. Got a show that's going to be just two customer stories and two links that I am going to deep dive into. One that I haven't talked about in a long time, portable apps, and another one is a PDF Adobe Pro replacement that's inexpensive that I really like and I've been committed to this week, and I will talk about that. So let's get started on the first story. I have a client that is in the financial business. He works out of his house, and he has Windows 7 Pro for a long time. It's a Dell Optiplex. He's a Core i5. He's got the older mechanical drive. But now he really, to be compliant, he needs encryption. He needs to go to Windows 10 before the end of the year, even though we're early into 2019, he said, Mike, it's time for me to upgrade my RAM, put a solid state drive, get me to Windows 10. You got it. And then, of course, do BitLocker when we're finished. We get the system Tuesday. My son picks it up. He takes out the drive. He puts the new solid state drive in, puts the memory, does Windows 10. Downloads his Office 365, and then turns it over to me after he puts FABS auto backup on the system. I now start transferring everything. There were two big problems. One, after I was done transferring, trying to authenticate at SureWeb again on email, and this is not SureWeb's fault, Microsoft, they're so bad, they believe they're the only. And this is definitely intentional. They want to be the only email provider in the world with Office 365. They don't want you going to any other hosted exchange because their default auto-discover goes to them. Well, guess what? He doesn't have an Office 365 account for email, so it's not authenticating, and it doesn't even connect. I end up calling SureWeb after spending hours on this, and they looked. And I should have looked at this, and this is one of the big lessons. The auto-discover somehow got removed from my client's DNS. I don't know how that happened, and I know it was there years ago. I know I put it in. There was no auto-discover. So once I get auto-discover in, I had to wait till it replicated. That's problem one. Finally worked about midnight. I finally connect and I can authenticate, and then all of his email can come down overnight because the system's going to be delivered the next morning. Second problem, he has this older program that's his mailing list and CRM software, we'll say. I had trouble getting it, I know, to run in Windows 7 and when he moved from XP. This is a mission-critical app for him. And I can't get it to run. It's saying it can't find this DLL, can't find... And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, the DLL's there. I'm trying to register the DLLs. So I select, let's try compatibility mode. And I have not done this in a while. Windows 10 said, would you like us to troubleshoot? I said, absolutely. It went through the troubleshooting, picked Windows XP Service Pack 3 to run in compatibility mode. And lo and behold, it launched with no errors. Everything's beautiful. I pinned that app to the toolbar and it was perfect. And Windows 10 actually discovered what it needed to do to get it to run. Now, I did two other things, which is run as administrator. And then I know it's not the perfect thing for security, but I had the user control, I had a lower because I wanted him to not have to click on something after launching the program. We launch it as administrator. It doesn't ask for confirmation and it launches it in a compatibility mode and it's running perfectly. Everything I was able to move and it is just beautifully running under Windows 10 and my client is extremely happy. As a matter of fact, today I just received a check already for the hardware and the labor. Lessons, make sure your DNS is set correctly, especially if you haven't touched it in a while. Just review it. Just log in and make sure everything's set. Make sure the MX records are perfect. Make sure that the auto discover is perfect. And then don't forget about compatibility mode on older apps. It's not going to work all the time, but I've had that save me just like it did this week. Second story, late Thursday night, I get a call from a client who no longer can receive or send email from Comcast. And it's a Thunderbird program that she's using. She loves it. And I remote in, use Instant House Call. I connect. And what do I see? A message that it cannot, the password's not valid. So I said, great, let's go to Comcast.net and log in. We get a message that your email might have been compromised and we need you to reset your password. But in order to reset the password, you have to authenticate. And how do you authenticate? Oh, it's a mess. We can't get to the screen that wants us to reset the password. And I think this is because she doesn't have an alternate email address to send anything. And I don't know if they have the proper phone number listed. So I open a chat session online because remember, I'm remote and I'm an hour away, so I can't get on site to this client. We open the chat session and we say, look, we need help resetting the password. So he needs proof of who she is. I get it. For security reasons, you absolutely have to have that. She gives her name, her address. They want the account number, and she doesn't have a bill in front of her. So no problem. Last four digits of your social security number. Great. We give that. So now, here's how you have to reset the password. They send you a link. So they ask for her cell number. Now, why would they ask for a cell number and not just reset the password? Well, they send you a link and you have to use your local Comcast Wi-Fi. You can't use cellular for this to work. And here's why. It has to be behind the modem that's tied to the account. She does not have Wi-Fi on. And this is a client that in no way can enable this herself. So she's strictly cellular in her house. Her desktop is wired to the Comcast modem. You see our problem. So they send me the link. That she said, can you send it to my tech? He's online with us. No problem. They get my email. I get the link. I click and it's not working. It's asking for a password. And if it asks for a password, that means it's not working. I'm Fios. And he says, oh no, you have to be behind the modem for this link. I was like, we can't, we don't have it. This was so frustrating. We escalated. They would not reset
the password.
And they said, you got to call in. My client, I said, call in and then text me or email me how you made out. Our worst case, I'll send my son out the next day and he can get connected, get your Wi-Fi up and running so we can go through that process and he can help you and we can reset the password. She emails me an hour later stating that everything's working. They allowed her to get it reset. And here's what they did for an alternate proof of her identification. Since she paid via credit card, she verified the credit card number that was used for the payment of the last bill. Now, I don't like that was how they used. And what if she paid by check? What would they have done? The lesson here, and you're not going to know this until you run into it, you need alternate emails, and you got to make sure the cell phone number so they can send you a text is the phone number. But here's the problem with Comcast. They want the actual landline phone number. And I'm surprised they didn't say, look, we'll just call that landline and you answer it, because clearly you have to be there. I guess someone could spoof that. I understand the security, but when you have a little old lady calling up who is technologically challenged, it is very difficult for her alone to go through the password process reset, because they're going to use technology to help verify and reset the password. I'm glad they have some low-tech solutions like the last four digits of your Social Security. And it should have really been just like the last four digits of the credit card. And maybe it was, and it wasn't the whole card number, because I would be shocked that a tech support person could see the whole credit card number. They shouldn't be allowed to in the software, just from a PCI compliance. So it might have been just the last few digits, and she didn't say that. Interesting, the process, and you should be armed with this. I've talked about the horrible Yahoo email reset where if you don't have alternate phone numbers or alternate emails, then you have to make a report to the Better Business Bureau, and then they reset your password. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of, but that is true. So one of the things that, if you're helping someone set up a new email, you got to have an alternate email. And a lot of my older clients don't understand that. They need that extra Gmail account or that extra email account, because that's the recovery email. And for some clients, I've let them use my email as the recovery email, because they just absolutely do not want another email account. And that's dangerous, using an individual like me. What if something happens to me? What if they're no longer a client? It's not fair to them. Some of them have insisted. So I am the recovery email for a couple people. I don't like doing that. I'd be curious of the horror stories that you've been through with clients. And if you want to share them, I'll pick this up again in a few weeks and read your stories, or play it if you leave me a voicemail at Mike Tech Show on Skype or send me an MP3. I want to get to two links to talk about for the rest of the show. The first one, I found affordable PDF editor. It's PDF Elements 6 Pro. It's inexpensive. It is simple. They have beautiful icons that are big and easy to read. It's like making forms in PDF for dummies. And I love it, because I was so frustrated with the full Adobe PDF Pro that I own. I have been unsuccessful, and I own it with a legitimate license, and I keep getting that it's not genuine, and I have not been able to remedy that with Adobe. So I said, I'm done, and I removed Adobe Reader, I removed the Adobe Acrobat, and installed this, and I've been using it for a week. Now, there's a couple limitations where in Word, I no longer have save as a PDF as an option. I have to print it to the PDF. That's okay. but I can drag and drop files right into it and it'll convert, and it converts back and forth. I'm able to OCR text from a graphic, from a JPEG, and it worked perfectly. I put this JPEG with a lot of text. I dropped it in. I let it do the OCR, and it converted it to text. The form process is just as simple as it can get. It's $90, and it's a lifetime purchase. It's not the $14.95 that you have to pay every month for Adobe Pro DC. If you were getting it directly from Adobe, they want that monthly fee for the rest of your life, which is what the model is now for almost everything out there. They want that monthly fee forever. It's so easy to use that I highly recommend it for anybody that's even technologically challenged and they need to make forms. This is a piece of cake to do. Try the trial. I'm going to have a link, and it's just pdf.wondershare.com. And then you can go /PDF element and you can just try it for free and take a look. You can annotate PDFs. It's a complete comprehensive tool set of a PDF editor. You can annotate, convert, create, and you can sign and protect the documents very easily and not pay the ransom fees that are required by Adobe. The big thing is shame on Adobe in deactivating their full client license in order to get us to subscribe to the monthly. I refuse. If that was the only software in the world, when a company puts a gun to my head, I'd do the exact opposite. I will not comply. I went looking for the best alternative to be able to edit a PDF. Right now, this is hot on my list because I'm using it. It's easy. I read a lot of reviews, at least solving everything that I need from editing a PDF. Want to talk about portableapps.com. Anybody that's been listening to me since the beginning, I have been an advocate of portable apps. As a matter of fact, one of the tipping points for my podcast was when, and I've mentioned this many times, when I was put on the front page of Dig because of a zip file that I had containing a lot of portable apps. And this predates portableapps.com, where I just compiled a bunch of portable apps, put them in a zip file, and then made it available to download. Well, it gets so easy, and their new client, and this is free, it's version 16. So it's just portableapps.com. Download the main program. After the install, you're presented with a beautiful checklist of every app that they have. And it is enormous on just literally how many apps and the different programs from accessibility, development, education, games. There's a ton of portable games. I like the Quick series, Quick Blackjack, Quick Poker, Quick Solitaire. They're a lot of fun. You have graphics editing and pictures. You have internet utilities, of course, portable versions of all the browsers. So much more. Portable PuTTY, portable Audacity for music and video, Office, Abbey Word Portable, a Note Portable, security, utilities. How about 7-Zip Portable? You can go crazy in exploring the hundreds and hundreds of portable apps. So you check which ones you want. They download to the directory that you specified. Now, I do this on my test system, and then I take that whole directory and I just copy it to a USB stick, and there I have it. It's running. And so I can run it right from a USB, and all these great programs, Crystal Disk Info Portable, all of the favorite apps that you want, I guarantee there's a compatible version, or that version itself is in a portable format. Portable means it does not need to be installed. It runs from exactly where it was installed. Now, here's the great part. There's an update. So these programs update all the time, like Portable Firefox, portable crystal disk info, you know, all these programs, they update on a regular basis. So you could once a week click an option on the software and just tell it to update all the programs, and it'll go out and look and see if there's updates, and it'll just download the updates. It's easy and simple, and it's a great way to bring your favorite utilities that you need on the road when you visit clients or any place and have it on your USB stick. I can carry a USB stick and literally accomplish 90% of any problem that I'm going to face when I walk into a client. Now, I have my bag with my laptop, and of course I have cables, and I have, you know, the link splitter tester. But I'll tell you, 90% of the time, I can solve it or do everything I need right from a USB kit, right from my USB stick, all my utilities. So if you haven't heard of Portable Apps, boy, that was the price of admission today and listening to this. You're going to love it. Take it, download it, pick your apps, play with them. And if you have, maybe you didn't realize that you can easily do an automatic update of all these apps, because that's the pain in the neck. With all these free programs and having a collection of them available to use, and I run into this all the time, it's a problem trying to get them updated because it takes a lot of time. You got to go to each website and you got to download it. And it's so time constrained that you don't do it. You end up using the older versions. I know I fall into that. So I need easy, and it's something I haven't visited in a long time. And I was playing with Portable Apps this week, and what a godsend having that. It's just tremendous. All right, that is it for today's show. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. It's a Saturday afternoon again. This is 2 weeks in a row, and I wasn't feeling good last Thursday night. I'm getting through a little bit. Had some cough drops, and my throat has been, I've been coughing to the point where I really didn't have a voice Thursday night, and there was no way I could do the show. So it wasn't a client, I was not feeling up to it, and just not having the voice, I didn't want to put the strain, and I'm feeling a lot better today. I still have a lingering cough, but I'm doing so much better. So I was so glad I've recommitted to Saturday, and I will try to be back on Thursday night. I want to thank everybody for supporting the show, and I want to thank you for using the Amazon link. Check out instanthousecall.com and kick the tires. Try the 15-day trial, and you'll be back to purchase it. You'll love it for remote access to help all of your customer base. That's it. Everybody have a great weekend, and I'll see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.